All right, welcome back. I got a fourth grader here in the house. He's not going to talk, but he's the smartest one of the whole group. I just feel it. He's about to be a fourth grader. He successfully finished third grade, but that's what it's all about. Helping our young people in two IPS schools, School 99 and School 93. Parents have come together. Parents have stood up. Because I know they listen to this show and they've been here. They hear the audience dog parents out. They call up and dog parents worse than sports writers dog out LeBron James or Lance Stevenson. Pick your choice. But it is part of an effort of Stand for Children to do some positive things and get parents fired up in the house. Got some parents, Ashley Thomas, and she's a proud parent of students at School 93. I got King Cobbs. I got an African-American male in the house. And he's a proud parent of students at School 99. I got Deborah Black, who kind of helped everybody out, and Justin Oldmiller of Stanford Children. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So, Justin, this has been an effort of Stanford Children working with parents all across the city. What did these men and women do?
Well, Amos, thanks for having us. I think you raise a really good point, which is too many times we talk about education, we point the finger of blame, and oftentimes it's pointed at parents. Mm-hmm. And I think at times parents do need to step up, but there are plenty of parents that want to step up, that love their kid and want to do right by their child, but they just don't have the tools to be able to do that. Or they also don't feel like their voice is going to be heard. So a real big commitment of our organization, Stanford Children, was to figure out a way to get parents educated and engaged at the grassroots level to really be a champion for their kids' education and take actionable steps, and underline and bold actionable, mm-hmm. To impact their outcomes in the classroom. So what we've done is we launched a parent university, Stan University for Parents. Mm-hmm. It was its inaugural year is this year. We had it in three IPS schools, including School 99 and 93. And so these parents that you see here took an 8-week course, mm-hmm. 90 minutes a week, that was focused all about steps they could take to be a bigger part of their kids' education and help their child succeed in the classrooms. And through that, we've got a couple of great stories here of how parents have been quickly activated around their kids' education and taken a more active role, including the case of Ashley Thomas and the parents in 93. They actually took it a step further, rallied around, and we're now going to see a high-performing program come to that school thanks to parent activation.
So, Ashley, you all lobbied and did what you had to do, and then do what I keep saying, telling people, go to the school board meeting and let them see you. What were you all trying to do at 93?
We were trying to get a program that was going to help turn this school around. I mean, for the last couple of years, School 93 was a failing school. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we didn't want it to stay that way. We didn't know any options on what we could do because, you know, the year before, the teachers had fought for Project Restore, and it was a losing battle. Well, this year, the very successful program Project Restore, which started in School 99 by a couple of teachers that teach at School 99, actually, they brought the program now to School 93, and that's what we were fighting for. We were fighting just for our children to have equal opportunity for quality education.
King Cobbs, you're at School 99. What is Project Restore? What did it do to the students at that school?
Well, first of all, I got a lot of the parents involved. It made the parents want to go and see what was actually going on and see what the program was about. Mm-hmm. When the kids would have tests once a week instead of every grade period, it involved them more into wanting to learn more.
Okay.
So as far as the children, you've seen a big change in the kids. They started acting different. They start paying attention more. They got treated whenever they did anything right or their grades improved. They went on skating trips. It was just a phenomenal thing. It was very interesting.
How did you get parents to buy in? And for those parents that were either too busy because of where they worked, or maybe they work for a place that's got Simon Legree as the employer and won't let them off, have time to see about their kids. How did you work with those parents? Because people call up here, and again, stereotyping parents and assuming that that most black parents don't care about the kids. They'd rather stay at home and watch Scandal than worry about what their kids are doing.
Well, first of all, you have to care about your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is I saw a lot of parents, they did start to get involved once they saw what this program was about.
Mm. So part of it is if a parent sees that something's going on in the school and they see a difference
if
for the better.
If they see that their kid is improving, they're going to wonder what's going on, what made my kid change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought them, a lot of parents to the school.
Deborah Black, you've been involved in the parent university, and I know you've heard the callers that call up on this. How would you respond to that? Everybody's heard these folks that call up in here.
Well, I think, and again, thank you for having us. I think part of the response has to be that many parents just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to partner with the school, and so what our program with STAND has done is help educate parents and empower them to know how to support the school and be better advocates for their children. So when a Project Restore comes, they have an opportunity to know how to work with the school, do things at home,
mm-hmm.
as well as coming up to the school to see what's going on so that their children continue to achieve.
But those parents that are legitimately working two jobs, How do y'all work with that? Because if they can't go during the day or the early evening, how do you get those parents engaged? Because there are some parents that literally work from the time they send their kid on the school bus till when they get home, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Well, absolutely, you're right. And what we saw during our stand-up classes is parents then find a network. And so if I'm a parent that has three jobs or two jobs or I work all during the day, I have a person I can go to like Ashley or Brother Cobb and say, can you go check on my child while you're checking on yours? Can you bring me back the information from the meeting? Can you tell me what's going on? So it also connects parents. That's part of the power of what happens when parents work together.
How do you get around the attitude of some school people?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe y'all have bridged that gap at 93 and 99 where you're not the parent of JoJo and I'm not going to tell you anything about JoJo because you're not JoJo's parent. but that's real. How do you work around that?
The parent has to let the school know, the one that's working, that I am empowering Ashley to ask about my child and to get that information. And what happens is teachers like the fact that parents have gotten together in the interest of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes over and above and becomes more important than, you know, the fact that it's not their child.
So some of this is old school.
Absolutely.
The way it used to be back in the day.
In the village, that's right.
239-1310. 239-1310 is that's the news. Let me go to the phones. We got something with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Amos.
Hey.
I just heard the lady talk about the people working two and three jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been trying to get this minimum wage thing up for a while, right?
Yeah.
And if you paid a person $10.10 an hour versus $7.25 an hour, they wouldn't have to have two or three jobs, and they could maintain their house and their family and their children, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
In 63, they marched on the White House. If we can get 200,000 or 300,000 people from each state to march on Washington, I think they would change their idea. If they looked out and they seen millions of people standing out there saying, this is what we want from y'all and we want it right now.
All right. That's a good point. I appreciate it. Let me go to Mike right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
Fine.
That's good. And to your guests, good afternoon to you.
Yeah,
I do want to get a little bit in depth because, I remember back, a few years ago, I had a petition signed, to keep a local school open. And that was Francis Scott out on East 32nd place, 36th place,
mm-hmm.
on the far east side. And at that time, the administrator, the superintendent, Dr. White, was talking about the school was broke. And they run around shutting down schools, closing down sports programs, football, shutting down band programs. Then come to find out underneath the new administrator, there's $8 million. You know, after the previous superintendent then gave his son $10,000 raises, different people in administration $1,000 raises, you know, far and above. But to the general public, they tell them the general public that they broke, and that's not their money. Mm-hmm. It's the general public money. So as a parent standing up, which I have done, and which I try to keep the schools open in our community to keep our community vibrant and keep money flowing into our community. But when a parent does something, what are we going to do to hold the people that writes the check accountable for what they're doing, because they're saying one thing and it's all totally different?
All right, good point. Anybody want to comment on Brother Mike? Ashley Thomas?
Well, I think what I understand what he's saying. You know, it is really frustrating because, I mean, me being part of that process and watching that process work, I think Dr. Farabee is on a totally different note than the previous administration, so I can't vouch on what Dr. White did within that time frame that you were referring to. But, you know, within this time frame, we do. We need administrators that want to listen, not just getting petitions signed, but going in, sitting in on the meetings constantly. And, you know, just because they tell you, hey, you know, we understood, we heard what you said, keep going back. You have to keep it really consistent, because consistency helped us really make some moves and help Dr. Farabee really understand what the parents wanted at School 93. You know, show your passion.
So now, when school opens on the ungodly date of August the 1st, 2nd, whatever.
Fourth.
It's all the same thing. What is going to happen at 93? In other words, is it all new teachers coming in, principals? Is the existing staff understand the new program?
Most of the teachers are all the same, mm-hmm. except for some that might be retiring, right. Of course. Okay. But we're going to be implementing the program. It's going to be totally new. It's going to shake up the teachers. It's going to shake up
an example of what the program is, because I think people listening are going, okay, wait a minute, what are they talking about? Are they teaching reading, writing, arithmetic? Is it open classes? Is it rigid classes? What are they talking about?
Well, what it is, they're going to have weekly assessments, weekly tests.
Okay.
And it's testing.
Not them long standardized tests.
No, nothing like the ISTEP.
Okay.
But it's testing them what they learned that year, that week. So they have a weekly test on Thursday, mm-hmm. which allows them to then begin on Friday and say, what do we need to do to make sure that these children are learning? But not only are they testing what they learned that week, but the week before and the week before that. So they're constantly drilling the same information.
That's what they used to do back in the day.
You know, there's a lot of old school tactics. They worked. And so I think a lot of times you got to go back to your roots in order to really make something happen. But they're doing that. But not only will we have two new disciplinary deans, which we didn't have additional help. We didn't have an assistant principal. There are a lot of things that are going to be coming to School 93 that are going to really help with those things.
Now, is 93 a K-6? What are the grades in the building?
You're right, K-6.
It's a K-6. 99 is a K-6
exactly.
as well?
Exactly.
All right, for those listening, because not everybody listening lives in IPS, 93 is located where?
They are located on the east side of Indy.
Where on the east side?
On the
come
east
on,
side.
Show love for the neighborhood.
It's really like close to 38th and Shaylin area.
38th and Shaylin. Mm-hmm. And where's 99?
Off of 30th and Ritter.
Okay. So we got two schools on the
right across
the
street from Eastern Star Church.
Okay. And that's Arlington Woods, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Cause that's that school in, when I look at census data.
Right.
Ain't the greatest, I mean, great people in the neighborhood, but in terms of unemployment and poverty, it ain't setting the world on fire. But that school was off the chain with an A.
Right.
Several A's. How did a school, because when I looked at the data, it's like, wait a minute. This school's got A's up the wazoo.
And it was
and
a D school.
A and a B. And then when I look at the data, it's 50% unemployment. Mm-hmm. 50-60% of the kids mm-hmm. live below the poverty level. Mm-hmm. There's sociology students and doctoral candidates will look and say, those kids are doomed to failure. They can't succeed. How did it work there?
Well, like you said, like Deb and or something say, when they implement that Project Restore, it changed the whole, it opened up a new genre of how the kids are learning. They retro things, like she said, back to the old school, and they brought things back that needed to be brought back. They played people in places that other schools don't have. Like she said, they didn't have deans and assistant principals. They put people in place so where the teacher wouldn't have so much to do and have so much on her packet, because they took
the busy work and other stuff.
Right. They took the assistant to the teacher out so they can place other people in.
How do they handle if a kid gets restless or if all of a sudden kid wants to go, hey, I want to walk over here, you know, that kind of stuff. I can get away with that in the studio because I'm old. How do they handle stuff like this? She laughing because she know kids do that.
Yes, I've sat in the classrooms.
And with the program, the learning that they have is so instrumental and it's so focusing that the kids don't really have time to – when a kid has too much time, they drift, they draw off and they tune out. Or if a kid is too smart, they will distance themselves from that. But what the Project Restore does, it gives them so much to look at and so many things to put in front of them that they don't have time to do that.
How do you deal with the issue of what this young man here is learning today? What he learned in third grade, what he learned in fourth grade, that math, I can't comprehend.
He brings it home.
How do you deal? You didn't learn it that way.
I have to go to Google.
Google has all the answers.
But let me bring that, given that in these neighborhoods, maybe a quarter of the people don't have the internet in the home. Now they may have the internet on that $40 or that $25.
There's a public library on every corner.
Is part of working with parents, letting them know that if they've got that track phone, they can look up Google? Is a part of that teaching that the parents said, I don't have a computer. You turn to them and say, yes, you do. It's called that phone.
The child knows more about the Google than I do.
Let me go to Betty at 239-1310. Hi, Betty. Betty?
Good evening. How are you?
We're fine. What's up?
Good. I just had a comment. I'm a Stan University parent. I work with Ms. Black, I appreciate them. They are very, very, it's a very good program, and I think the kids will benefit from it. The parents will benefit from it. The teachers will benefit from it because the simple fact that the teachers will be able to teach when if the kids are acting up in class, come in and take them out. So this will give the teachers a chance to be able to do their job, and other kids will be able to learn. All the kids will be able to learn. So thank you, Ms. Black, Mr. Justin, just a comment.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. 239-1310, 239-1310 is absolutely his name. Let me ask, since this is just like this, we rarely get to talk to students because they're in school, and we rarely get to talk to parents because they at work. Let me ask you a couple of educational issues that are out there. One, there's a battle brewing that in I-STEP, iRead. When that young man took iRead, all you knew was whether he passed iRead or he didn't pass iRead. You didn't see whether is he reading at the start of third grade level, the middle of third grade level. Is he already at fourth grade level in the reading? Should iRead be able to tell parents not just that you pass, where are you on the timeline, and should I-STEP measure how a kid is reading? You're taking sixth grade I-STEP, are you reading at the sixth grade level, the seventh grade level, the third grade level?
Actually, what the test shows now, it shows a chart and a graph of where your child is.
Okay.
So you can relate to where your child is now.
Okay.
But by this program being implemented, they draw up
a different. Oh, on Restore.
Right. They draw up a different map.
But based on the weekly tests.
They also do that as well.
Okay.
They send a weekly report home to the parents.
And Amos, just one quick thing I wanted to, Mr. Cobb said is so key. Transparency. Mm-hmm. Parents want to know. Not enough schools provide that transparency.
Right.
Mr. Cobb knows the data. He knows where his kid is because he stood up and been accountable. And also that school has been it's accountable itself in communicating with the parents about how their kid's doing. That's tremendous. And that's what Ashley's going to see next year.
They take the data and write it in American.
Right.
That's so
right.
That you can understand
that's right.
Really where they are.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
So when we get that paper, like I said, there's a weekly report that the teacher sends home every Friday to let the parent know what they've taught the children that week and before, and to let the parent know what the child needs to work on and what he's going to be working on.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. Now, I was going to ask how your schools did on I-STEP. I'm not supposed to ask you that question because I'm the media and I'm not supposed to know yet how the schools did on I-STEP, even though y'all done had the data for 6 weeks. I'm gonna ask the superintendent, why is it parents know and the schools know and I don't know, but that's a whole nother, kettle of fish. If, cause I'm gonna be talking with superintendent, if there's a question I could ask her in the time I have with her from a parent perspective, what do you want me to ask her?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I would like to see, teacher's assistants, back in the schools.
Mm.
If the teacher could have, an assistant, and I even have an idea that they may be able to look into. You have a lot of college interns that are becoming teachers,
mm-hmm.
and, it'll be free. That's the number one good word there, free. So with the teacher intern that is a college student, if she goes in the classroom and helps the teacher maybe one or 2 hours a day, and you can spread it around. We have a lot of colleges in this city,
mm-hmm.
and we have a lot of teacher interns that are in college right now, and that'll help them get prepared for their job as becoming a teacher later on. So that would be a good program to implement in the schools, is a teacher intern, to me personally.
239-1310. So y'all looking forward to the start of school?
Yes.
All right.
And this young man here, you looking forward to the start of school? You ready?
Yes.
You ready? What's your name?
King.
King?
Yes.
You King the Second?
Yes.
Don't laugh. There, in history, there have been great kings the Second.
Yes.
What was it? Henry the Second. Queen Elizabeth the Second.
Yeah.
And she ain't a king, but she a powerful queen.
Oh, that's right.
Powerful. Good luck to you in the whole fourth grade. What do you want to? You were telling me earlier when the microphone went on.
I'm an honor roll student.
Huh? You're an honor roll student.
Yes.
I would expect that. What do you want to be when you grow up? You know.
Time to help the world.
Oh, Drew, did you hear that? See, and that's what getting parents engaged and involved is all about. So how, Deborah Brack, I'm going to let you have the last word. If parents want to get involved with Stan in this effort and learn how to do that, how do they get involved?
Well, we have an opportunity with Stan to go to schools in the district, and they should just pay attention at the beginning of the school year. They will get information as to where we'll be, which schools we'll be in, and the key thing is just get involved, listen, be a partner with your school, and you can be like these two parents here who learned so much and now are taking that in terms of leadership in their schools.
And it's not hard at all.
And Justin, there's a website, so if somebody's got their cell phone,
right,
or the kid knows how to do Google,
that's right.
What's the website?
Stan.org/Indiana.
Stan.org/Indiana. One more thing,
right,
before we go,
sure,
and I'll bring it to you as the head of Stan for Indiana, the situation that occurred yesterday with Arlington saying that with the dollars they're receiving to run Arlington is insufficient, and they don't want to sacrifice the quality of the education they provide the kids at the other Tinley schools. Does Stan have a position on the Arlington crisis?
We've not taken a position on the Arlington crisis.
Are you all concerned about it?
We're concerned about anything that involves dollars getting effectively to the classroom to educate kids. Our whole focus, though, has really been at the grassroots level in the IPS schools, particularly the neighborhood schools right now. So those other issues, you know, we've not taken an official position.
But this is something where parents at Arlington,
yep,
need to not sit back. They need to start 411 and texting each other and trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
How critical is that when all of a sudden people hear in the news something negative about their school? How important is it for parents to start talking or texting among themselves to try to figure out what's going on?
It is really important. As soon as they hear any little bit, or not even hearing it, just sitting in, going to school board meetings, you know, emailing, whatever you can do, you know, speaking to people like yourself. I mean, anyone who will listen, because they're going to make changes to your school, or they're going to dictate moves with your school. And if you don't say anything, then all you're going to be doing is sitting around complaining.
If you don't have a PTA meeting, try to start one.
There you go. They still got them?
We don't have one currently, but we are actually networking to make a move.
We got an active stand team over at 93.99. That's right.
All right. King Cobbs 1 and King Cobbs 2, along with Deborah Black, Ashley Thomas, and Justin Oldmiller with Stand for Children, and working with IPS Schools 99 and 93. Play those numbers boxing straight, and you get educational excellence. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
All right. Thank you.